The Situation Room was in the basement of the Pentagon, in the wing that had been rebuilt after being blasted and burned by the terrorist attack of September 11, 2001. It was a small room. It felt crowded, tense, even with fewer than a dozen men and women sitting around the oblong table. Almost every one of them had opened a laptop or notebook computer on the table before them. Three of the room's walls were floor-to-ceiling smart screens, showing various images from hardened Defense Department satellites. The ceiling was paneled with glareless lights. The seats around the highly polished table were dark leather, plush, comfortable. Each place at the table had a built-in phone jack and power plug. General Higgins was a big, morose-looking man, with a flabby, jowled face and a bulbous nose that had earned him the nickname Possum when he'd been a cadet at the Air Force Academy. Although he was presently on detached duty with the Defense Intelligence Agency, he still wore his blue uniform. Zuri Coggins sat at the general's right hand. She was from the White House, a member of the National Security Advisor's staff, sent to this emergency action team as the West Wing's representative. She was a tiny African-American woman, almost elfin, but very intense. Wearing a stylish, short-skirted, red jacket dress, she was the only woman in the conference room. The rear door opened and Michael Jamil stepped in, looking apologetic. All eyes around the oblong conference table turned to him. "Sorry to be late," he said, his voice soft, contrite. "They held me up at the security checkpoint outside." Jamil, a civilian analyst from the National Intelligence Council, was in a suede sports jacket and baggy, creaseless chinos. No tie, but a sleeveless V-neck yellow sweater beneath the jacket. He slid into an empty seat at the foot of the conference table, glancing at the displays on the smart screens that lined three of the room's four walls. The images showed a satellite view of the missile launching site in the rugged mountains of North Korea, an electronic map of the North Pacific Ocean with each U.S. Navy surface vessel and submarine highlighted by a pinpoint light, and other satellite pictures of Air Force bases in Alaska, Okinawa, and Japan. Jamil was of medium height, spare of build, his face fringed with a neatly trimmed light brown beard. His skin was the color of tobacco leaf, although he had never smoked in his life. He brushed at a lock of sandy hair that stubbornly fell across his high forehead and nervously adjusted his tinted eyeglasses. His eyes were caramel brown. He felt very junior to this assemblage of uniformed brass and high-powered civilians, even though he was convinced that he knew more about the situation than most of them did. "Are we all here now?" General Higgins asked, his tone biting, his fleshy face clearly displeased. His aide, an Air Force major sitting on his left, replied, "The representative from the Chief of Naval Operations is on his way, sir, and the Chief of Homeland Security Office in Honolulu was going to attend via a satellite link, but the link isn't operative this morning." Higgins grumbled, "Which is why we're here, isn't it?" Zuri Coggins said, "The President and the National Security Advisor have both instructed me to assure you that any and all resources you may need will be made available." She peered down the table toward Major General Bradley Scheib. Brad Scheib gave the impression of being a dashing sky warrior in his crisp blue uniform with its chest full of ribbons and his handsome, chiseled features. In reality, he was more of a tech geek than a jet jock. A graduate of Caltech, Scheib had spent more of his career in laboratories than cockpits. "What about it, Brad?" General Higgins asked. "Is your missile defense system up and running?"